Well, look who's back from vacation. He survived having a couple of weeks off, and now he's back at work, although he probably doesn't want to be there. Von Palmer is back with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Simi. I'm delighted to be back.
Really?
I'm happy that you didn't forget me completely with this spot in the hands of the very, very capable Rob Shaw. I listened every morning. It sounded great.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because I was watching Star Trek Nemesis on the weekend, and I had never, I don't know how that one had passed me by, or I don't know what happened, but I remember thinking, oh, I could talk to Rob about this on Monday. And then I thought, oh, yeah, Vaughn's back. Oh, yay, Vaughn's back. Okay, so.
I thought you were going to ask me for my favorite metal band.
No, I would never do that to you. I don't think you have a favorite metal band.
I do indeed, Metallica.
Really?
Yes, and I'm old enough, Simi, to remember the outrage when the Grammy for metal band was given to Jethro Tull, and metal fans all over the world
were enraged.
As everyone knows, Jethro Tull is not heavy metal. And far from it. That's a little like giving it to Tom Jones, I would say.
Okay, who knew that you would have thoughts on this? All I remember is that when I was a kid, do you remember the band Twisted Sister?
Yep. Oh, God, how could I forget that?
Right, with Dee Snider. And I remember watching the video and loving it. And my mom watching me coming into the room while I was watching the video for We're Not Gonna Take It. And she was horrified. And at that moment, it cemented me as a Twisted Sister fan.
And she realized you were completely lost at that point,
yeah,
Simi.
Exactly.
It's just, oh, there goes my daughter.
Exactly. But yes, we're going to talk about the family doctor shortage, because that's one thing that definitely not only did not change while you were gone, Vaughn, but really ramped up with all of these tragic stories that we've been getting from people who've had to resort to these unbelievable measures to try to get a doctor.
Yeah, having to take out an ad in the newspaper, and that one actually worked. They did get a family doctor, but no, it is a huge problem. I suppose you have to say when you say it that, well, it's been building for a long time, and yes, it extends across Canada. You can say all that stuff, but you know, we elect governments to solve problems like this, and when they're in opposition, they always tell you they can. So how is this government doing on it? I think between the closures of emergency rooms, the lack of medical staff in these much vaunted urgent and primary care clinics that the government keeps establishing, and as you say, the couple here in Victoria who put an ad in the paper saying my husband can't get his prescriptions filled, and they need to be filled, and you know, it took an ad in the paper to get that. Yeah, it's a huge crisis. It doesn't lend itself to easy solutions, but I think what people increasingly want to know is that the government's working on solutions and has a vision that's going to work, and I think there is legitimate questions as to whether or not the model we have right now is the answer.
The interesting thing about this, too, is you David Eby has been talking about this, and he continues on with this leadership race as though it's a race, even though there's nobody else in it right now. He's been all over Vancouver Island going places.
Yeah, Eby is out campaigning for the leadership. Officially, the race is on because it's open to anybody who wants to join the NDP leadership race by October the 4th. They have to put up $40,000, so it's not like come one, come all, but there's still a rumor out there that someone's going to find someone to run for this job. The environmental wing of the NDP, the people who think this government hasn't done enough on a number of fronts, want a candidate, want to take on Eby, so there's still a chance that someone will run. Meanwhile, you're right, Simi, Eby's out campaigning. He's doing appearances around the province. He gave an interview last week to Rob Shaw on the subject we're talking about. And interesting, Eby doesn't think that these urgent and primary care clinics are the future of family medicine in British Columbia. I mean, the government's invested a huge amount in these clinics, announced a whole bunch of them around the province. The stats indicate they aren't really doing the job of replacing family doctors, and Eby is now saying, well, they're needed now, but they're not the future.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about these because this, obviously they're not working. And I think, you know, maybe pre-pandemic, we were more worried at that point with the strain on our emergency rooms. Yeah. Right. And now it's about family doctors. And yeah, this model doesn't work for family doctors. The question is, and by the way, David Eby should know about this, is his wife is a family doctor.
Yeah, that's interesting. And he said that to Shaw. He said, look, UPCCs were needed for the reason, Simi, you just indicated. They were a stopgap measure when we were worried about the emergency rooms being overwhelmed. And they were a model that some in the healthcare establishment thought was the future. So you would establish what was called a primary care network of doctors and specialists working together within a region. You would have a clinic where people could go to instead of going to a walk-in clinic or an emergency room. And there they would get the full range of care, whether you needed attention today or whether you had chronic problems like diabetes where you needed to see specialists. That was the model. It just didn't take off. You've got regions all over the province where the clinics are up and running. They're staffed with support staff. They're expensive. But what they're missing is the doctors. And doctors have gone into these things. They've checked out. So here's what EB says about that. He says, yes, they were important for the time. And you have to understand that this was the pandemic and this was the way we're going. But he doesn't think this is the future of family medicine. He says that what we are going to need to do is to provide greater incentives for graduating doctors to become family doctors. Now, they may do it through a clinic, but we need more family doctors. And he thinks, well, the government's already offered financial incentives, so what would be different about the David Eby model? He says you're going to have to step in through the health regions and cover the overhead and the paperwork. That is, as much as anything, what is keeping would-be family doctors from going into medicine, family medicine. They want to look after patients. They like that idea. That's why they're becoming doctors. But you know, the reports they get from practitioners in the field, Timmy, are $100,000 a year in overhead. Paperwork that keeps you up half the night. And EB says that's where you got to go. And Timmy, that's where his wife, Kaylee, is helping because she is a family doctor. And she knows more than the anecdotes on it. So I think you have to listen to him on this for two reasons. One, he knows what he's talking about. And two, he's very likely to be the next premier of British Columbia.
Also, very quickly, let's talk about the other big story politically last couple of weeks had to do with this group, you know, that is letting the air out of SUVs' tires as a form of environmental protest. What does the government have to say about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. George Heyman, the environment minister, is asked about this during another event in Nelson last week. And he says, expresses exasperation, you know. And Heyman, by the way, is a former executive director of the Sierra Club. So, I mean, he is a strong environmentalist himself. He says, look, these people are alienating the British Columbians who share their concerns. So they want to save old growth, or they're worried about climate change, because that's the two protests Heyman was asked about, the blocking the roads and letting the air out of tires. And he said the British Columbians who share those concerns about old growth and about climate change, they're being alienated by these kind of protests. And he said they're breaking the law. And he said his ministry will not be meeting with advocates who are out there breaking the law. They're not going to get a hearing with the government, never mind any sympathy. Interesting. I think Heyman certainly speaks for the NDP government. If those protesters imagine that they're getting the government's attention or causing the New Democrats to do anything differently, they're deluded. I think Heyman's right that the public is enraged about this. But the other message from this is, look, the strongest environmental advocate in the government says, I'm not even going to talk to you because you're breaking the law and you're alienating the people that you need to get on side.
Exactly. Okay, well, that's not a good sign. Quickly, before I let you go, what's the deal with Rob Shaw's cat? I know he's been trying really hard on this. He wants this legislature cat.
So I'm sorry he's not on with you this morning to give you the first hand up date of this, but I talked to him yesterday. He got a phone call on the weekend from the Speaker of the Legislature.
Wow.
Who said, what have you gotten me into? Speaker said he was out at an event in his Burnaby riding meeting on the weekend, and people were saying, what about the cat? So the speaker is promising there will be a committee this fall that will, all-party committee, represented from all parties and security and all that, to discuss the issue of acquiring or recruiting or adopting a legislature cat. The speaker said this does not mean we're going to get one, but it does mean we're going to address the issue. And he promised Shaw he would have an honorary non-voting membership on the committee. So Shaw will be able to update us all. I'm impressed. Very rarely does the press gallery make any change in British Columbia, no matter how much we grow.
I love it.
And, Simi, I really hope that if that committee is going to be headed by Chairman Meow.
I knew it. I knew there was a punchline coming. Thank you for that, Vaughn.
Bye-bye.
That's Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.